In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, we send our peace and blessings upon the Prophet and his progeny and those companions who follow their path. We send our special peace and blessings upon Hussein and the children of Hussein and Ali ibn al-Hussein and the companions of Hussein alayhi salam. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome once again to another episode of Open Talk. I'm your host, Sayyid Wahid Alawi. We're closing Arba'een, and according to the statistics that I have, year 2011, we had 15 million people coming and visiting the shrine of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. And 2012, it was 15 to 18 million. And this year, an estimated 20 to 25 million people would join, all peoples from all corners of the world, and visit the shrine of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. This will make Arba'een the largest peaceful gathering in history. Over 20 million people gathered in one place for one single event. Subhanallah, Hajj, with its estimated 2 to 4 million hujjaj or pilgrims, makes it incomparable with Arba'een, inshallah ta'ala. I will join them next week, dear brothers and sisters. The topic of today is a continuation of the other programs that we had, violence against women. But in this program, dear brothers and sisters, we are going to focus on the controversies about our own Islamic text and what it says about violence against women. Our dear expert in the studio is Dr. Shujaipur from the Islamic Research Institute for Culture and Thought. Dr. Shujaipur, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to our studio.
Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much for inviting me to the program.
And from London, we have Sheikh Ahmad Hanif, our dear expert over there. And as always, our dear co-host, Ms. Sadiqian. Sadiqian, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, brother. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds, and peace and blessings be on our Master Muhammad, his purified progeny, his selected companions, and all God's messengers. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. I'm your host, Elahe Sadiqian, with you in Open Talk. I'm humbly honored to be with you, and this program tries to amplify your voices and do something for better, inshallah. We'll take a short break and be right back. Thank you for watching, dear viewers. You're watching a live broadcast of Open Talk from the Holy City of Qom, Sahara Universal Network. Don't forget the ways you have to contact us, our Facebook and Twitter pages and YouTube, to follow our video clips. Put your comments, raise your questions. They are very much appreciated, dear viewers. And don't forget to email us and Skype us. You'll have our phone number on the screen throughout the program. Let's get started with the opening part of the program on violence against women with our experts.
Dr. Shujaipur, this noble verse from the noble Quran, from the glorious Quran, is quoted all the time, especially in the West. As to those women who, on whose part you see ill conduct, admonish them. Next, refuse to share their beds, and last, beat them. But if they obey you, seek not against them means of annoyance. Surely Allah is ever most high, most great. Now I have seen, and this is from Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 34. I have seen different interpretations, like light force, to strike, hit, chastise, or beat, but all of them are physical. How do you explain this verse?
As you mentioned, this very famous verse of Holy Quran in chapter 4, Surah An-Nisa, women, verse 34, is one of the centralized Quranic verses about the how to behave ladies, women. I think it is worthy having some explanation about this very important verse of Holy Quran, where
yes.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa." The men in here, just qawwamun, has a lot of misinterpretation for that. But the point is that in the family, in an Islamic family, the men, based on the history of the Islamic societies, they were the men were the ones who protected the family. Protectors. Qawwam here is the protectors, not to be dominant, to force, or to be oppressive, you know, to the family member, you know, as the wife.
All right.
And what and why we call the man protector of the family here in the condition of ayah, we say bima anfaqu min amwalihim, because there has been in the history of most of the societies, especially the Islamic culture, there were the men who provided the needs of the family, and they were working and to provide the, you know, earning money,
yes,
for the family. So this is the philosophy of that we call the man is qawwam. Just if I want to give a kind of comparison with the Western culture, if, for example, we see a man in a family cannot work,
yes,
and for example, the man is ill or disabled, you know, or so the wife is working and providing the needs of the family. So in that case, really, we can say the lady or the wife has the role of to be qawwam, because she is protecting the family, the husband or the family member, the children. So we should look at the context. That is, you know, in the Islamic context as a system that we call ar-rijal qawwamun, not meaning that dominant or the, and it is the case of management.
All right.
You know, because we have, if you want to consider the man and woman, based on Islam, okay, they are 100%
But how
equal.
Do you link it with this verse?
With the, I mean,
the verse with
how to behave?
Yes. If you, as to those women on whose part you see ill conduct, admonish them, next refuse to share their beds, and lastly beat them. How do you link that verse with this one?
So in here, the first point I can say, we have a relation between man and woman, which is husband and wife, and we have another relation between a man and woman in the society. So we have two types of relation: a social relation, as a man and woman in general in the society, so they are 100% equal, as you have seen in the traditional cultures like Islamic societies. Even the ladies are more respected in the society. When a man, even a woman, for example, gets on the bus, that's the men who give their seat, for example, to that lady. It is about the social aspect of the relation between a man and woman. But we come in a family.
All right.
In a family, we have the relation between man and woman, or the wife and husband. Yes, there should be love between them. But in most historical background, we see the man was the supervisor of the family, who was...
Dr. Jaipur, I'm going to hold you there. We're going to continue, inshallah, after Sheikh Ahmad Hanif. I think he has tuned in. Sheikh Ahmad Hanif, salamu alaikum. Do you have my voice?
Yes, wa alaikum salam.
Thank you for coming over. Sheikh...
Thank you very much.
This question, my second question, is about rape within marriage. Now, do we have any concept like we have in the West, which if a married person, in this case the male, rapes his own wife, the wife can persecute him and put charges? Do we have something called rape within marriage in Islam, or is this concept completely unknown for in the Islamic context?
Yes, we do have the concept of rape in marriage in Islam, but it is not emphasized within a penal type of context, in the sense that, for example, we have it falling under the area of akhlaq.
All right.
Akhlaq between men and women. You know, so you have, for example, a statement by the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him,
sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
where he says, how could a man beat his wife and then want to try to sleep with them
the same night?
You know, so you have that particular aspect in it. You also have the aspect of, you know, when you a man wants to have relationships with his wife,
yes,
you know, that he must be tender with her and, you know, carry out various tender preliminaries before he engages in intercourse with her.
Yes. But all of those points
so
that you made...
You have it on that particular level.
All of those points you made, Brother Ahmed Hanif, are from a moral conduct approach, akhlaqi view, as you said. But we can't...
Yes.
The lady can't charge her husband or put charges or take him to the court as we have in the West. True? There is no punishment for it in our fiqh.
Not to my knowledge. Not to my knowledge at all.
All right. Thank you very much. We're going to go for a break, dear viewers. Please join us after the break.
Islam's view of women in relation to men. In the Holy Quran we read, "We created women of the nature of man and from an essence the same as the essence of man, and that love of women is of the morality of the prophets." What then can we learn about the treatment of women in Islam? What rights do women have over their own selves? And how does Islam defend a woman's rights? Allah tells us in the Holy Quran that man and woman were each created for the other. They are an adornment for you, and you are an adornment for them. The Holy Quran, Surah 2, verse 187. At other parts of the Holy Quran, we read, "Men are managers of the affairs of women, because Allah has made one superior to the other." Surah 4, verse 34. What is understood here? And what are the boundaries of a man's rights over his wife? Are women meant to be physically subservient to men? And does that mean violence or abuse against women is at any time encouraged or tolerated in the Quran or traditions? The Quran mentions that man is created free. What is the concept of freedom in the context of marriage, obedience to a husband, and divorce? And what protection does a woman find in situations where her physical rights have been violated? What are the boundaries of a man's rights over his wife, and how is he made accountable for physical violence or sexual deviation or abuse? Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam saying it concludes the Islamic perspective of women very clearly. He says, most benefits come from women. So, in order to be good to society, we must be good to women. Because after all, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world.
No doubt, for sure. Thank you for watching, dear viewers. On the website unwomen.org, with the title Focusing on Prevention to Stop the Violence, they suggest education for prevention. Dr. Shojaipur, it says, a first of its kind, violence against women, voices against violence is a co-educational curriculum designed for various age groups ranging from 5 to 25 years. It provides young people with tools and expertise to understand the root causes of violence in their communities, to educate and involve their peers and communities to prevent such violence, and to learn about where to access support if violence is experienced. Now, how do you evaluate the role of education on prevention to stop violence against women this pandemic?
Surely, what I can say about the violence against women and in general violence in a society or as we talk in Islamic society, really it is not coming from the spirit of Islam first.
Okay, yes.
This is the point. As it was mentioned, we have a system of thinking in Islam, jurisprudence, ethics. The big problem I can say in the Islamic societies is the lack of Islamic education, especially Islamic ethics, to know that how should be the treatment of the men toward women or the male toward the female, you know, gender.
Yes.
So I think we can see this gap, and surely, for example, a big problem today we have, we are thinking about how we can get to the heaven through dua or supplications. It's a good way, yes,
yeah,
surely.
Yes.
But the way for going to the heaven, to Jannah, passes through the earth.
Yes.
So we should have a good conduct, good behavior on the earth, so that automatically Allah will send us and in the hereafter to heaven.
And the real religion is the real ethics and akhlaq.
Yes. So we should have a standard lifestyle. For example, in regard with our behavior to the ladies,
yes,
if you go to the a lot of narrations and sayings of the Prophet and Imams and other great companions of the Prophets, we see that how important is our behavior to the women, to the, for example, in the family, to the wife, to the daughters. As the Holy Prophet said, when you go to trip and buy a souvenir for every member of the family.
Yeah.
If you cannot do that, at least buy it for the female member of the family.
Yes.
They have more priority than others.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, Islamic education, especially Islamic lifestyle, is a big gap in the Islamic societies, and education, I think, can play important role.
So Islamic education is highly recommended.
Yes. We are Muslim, but
yeah,
it doesn't mean
Muslims.
That we are a real Muslim.
Yes.
Because there is a difference between to be Muslim and mu'min.
Yes.
Muslim,
sure,
and believer. I think that is a great difference, that we are not the representative of the real Islam. And
true,
this is the case of the violence. Yes, it is not coming from the spirit of Islam.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yes. Brother Wahid.
Yes, thank you. Brother Ahmad Hanif, I want to address my next question to you, sir. Emotional violence, please, or verbal violence towards women. Do we have anything called emotional violence in Islam, or is it unknown also? Like, can a woman or a man put charges against someone else because of emotional or verbal violence?
You know, many of these things are really covered under akhlaq, under ethical behavior.
Yes.
Is there such a thing as emotional or verbal violence? Because I mean, when you talk about emotional violence, you're actually talking about the use of words to hurt someone deliberately in their heart, you know. And you have many, many hadith that talk about this, not just in terms of men and women or husbands and wives, but also in terms of the relationship between the believers, that, for example, harsh words are very forbidden in Islam on an ethical basis, because they hurt other people, that we are supposed to speak to each other in a gentle and a patient manner. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and the Imams, alayhim salam, all of them have talked about a man being kind to his wife, to speak gently to her, and also a wife doing the same thing to her husband.
Yes.
You know, many of us think that emotional violence is a one directional or unidirectional thing. You know, you find that also among women, they subject their husbands to emotional violence.
Yes.
Maybe even more so than men, because they don't have the option of physical force, see. Islam tells us that we all should be treating each other with respect and with patience.
All right. Dr. Shajaipur, if we go back to our former question about the verse 34 of Surah An-Nisa. You were explaining. Yes.
As I mentioned, it's a very important verse of Holy Quran related to the how to behave women. The case of protecting the family institution is a very important point in Islam. As you know, if in comparison with, for example, the Western societies, the family institution is very stable in the Eastern and especially Islamic societies. So, in this ayah, verse of Quran, Allah says, yes, usually in past time, there were the men who were protecting the family, the wife and the children. So this is, I told you, it is not the case of the man and woman as a gender. It is a case of management in a unit, we
but
call
it
family.
But what does it mean when the verse says ill conduct? When you see ill conduct from your
so it means that when, for example, a man is working hard to provide the needs of a family, so the family foundation should be stable. If this foundation is going to not to be stable by the conduct of the woman or other member of the family, so it should be retreated. It should be kind of treatment for that. So in here, when we see, for example, the malconduct or the ill conduct of the lady, and so that the institution of the family is in danger.
The Arabic word which is used in the Noble Quran is nushuz.
Yes.
And translated to ill conduct. Now, what is nushuz? What is ill conduct in this particular verse?
It is a good question. In the case of nushuz, we have different type of interpretation. Sometimes, I told you, man as the protector of the family.
Yes.
Maybe in a modern society, I told you, a man cannot work. That's the woman is protecting. She is working, and we can see many examples like this in the Islamic societies or in the Western societies.
Yes.
But
it's global.
So it should be a kind of, a group of the people, they have a common goal and should be loyal to those common goals they have. It is the institution.
All right. Yeah.
So if, for example, the wife, in a way that is disobeying or not to be loyal to the husband, and even going toward, kind of ill conduct or something against morality. So this all, is called in the Islamic context, this behavior is called nushuz.
All right.
And if in that context that a man was working hard to provide and to have a stable family, when now it is a very common sense for everybody, even in the Western society.
Yes.
If for example, a person is working hard and see that, for example, the lady of the family is doing something else against the moralities, against the values of the family.
All right.
So it's the common sense, so we call it nushuz. In that way, Islam says in this verse, so to start by the admonishing or giving some advices to prevent of doing that. Then to be far from them, for example, not having a sharing the bed, or so it is a gradual process to
and the third one is
yes, and wazrebuhunna here unfortunately we have a lot of misinterpretation, especially by the Western Orientalists.
Very shortly, Dr. Shajaypur,
yes.
What is it?
So really, it is a very symbolic, and we have many verses of the very hadith of the Prophet and Imams that they say, here is, when the situation in a family is very critical, the husband, or even on the other side, I can say, because in today's context, for example, as I mentioned, woman is the supervisor of the, is the head of the family in a special case that, for example, the man cannot work.
Okay.
So the supervisor here is the case of management. The manager should repair that system that institution which is called family. So in that case, as we have in this verse of Holy Quran, the treatment of a man should be in a way to
chastise.
Yes, to make the lady aware of what she is doing against the family values,
and to it save
is
told, the family.
It is not, you know, to beat in a no right. Beating is, you know, for example, very symbolic with a small piece of wood, and right. As we have in the verses of.
I will let you continue, inshallah.
Yes.
Let's see what Mr. De Rion has prepared for us.
Sure, brother. As usual, a video clip is waiting for us and you to be watched. Right. Stay with us, please.
Come to know that to be the collective socialization of men, better known as the man box. See, this man box has in it all the ingredients of how we define what it means to be a man. Now, I also want to say, without a doubt, there are some wonderful, wonderful, absolutely wonderful things about being a man. Well, at the same time, there's some stuff that's just straight up twisted. And we really need to begin to challenge, look at it, and really get in the process of deconstructing, redefining what we come to know as manhood. I can remember speaking to a 12-year-old boy, a football player, and I asked him, I said, how would you feel if in front of all the players, your coach told you you were playing like a girl? The boy said to me, it would destroy me. And I said to myself, God, if it would destroy him to be called a girl, what are we then teaching him about girls? That it's okay to not be dominating. That it's okay to have feelings and emotions. That it's okay to promote equality. That it's okay to have women who are just friends and that's it. That it's okay to be whole. That my liberation as a man is tied to your liberation as a woman. I remember asking a nine-year-old boy, what would life be like for you if you didn't have to adhere to this man box? He said to me, I would be free. Thank you, folks.
Thank you for watching, dear viewers. The expert in the clip very beautifully states that he asked a 12-year-old boy, a football player, that before that, Sheikh Hanif, I would like you to focus on that, please. He asked a football player, a 12-year-old boy, what would you feel if in front of all the players, your coach told you you are playing like a girl? The boy has said, it would destroy me. The question is here, if it would destroy a boy to be called a girl, then what are we teaching him about women and girls? Would you please, Sheikh Hanif, talk to families about the wrong picture they are giving to their boys as men or manhood? And unfortunately, we are seeing nowadays, and it remains a main problem.
I don't look at it that serious, that negatively. Look, we're talking about a sports situation, football, which is a very aggressive sport, okay?
Yeah.
Men are identified with aggression, okay? Football is not a girl sport. So if you tell somebody, a boy, that he's playing like a girl, it means that you're playing weak. You're playing in a non-aggressive manner, and this is what causes distress among the boy. While that thing was going on, I was thinking about, if one describes a girl's play as being that of a boy, if you tell a girl you're playing like a guy, it is not as destructive to a girl's mentality as it would be to a boy's mentality. Because masculinity, maleness, has a very strong basis. It is something established in the psychology of men, All right. And when one's maleness, when a man's maleness is destroyed, it also destroys a woman's femaleness, because women are forced to behave in a manner that is outside of their own particular nature. And I think this is the essential meaning of Ar-rijal qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa, that men's identity, the security of men's identity, is also very important for the establishment of a woman's identity. And when that is weakened, you find women taking an aggressive position against men. And this is what explains nushuz. And this is what explains and justifies a reciprocal act of domination on the part of the man to restore the balance, which is what we call violence. But that violence, beating them, is not one out of malice or anger or or vengeance or whatever. It is a symbolic violence that brings the woman into the proper relationship with the man, which is one of her maintainer,
but we
which
do,
is the
Sheikh
imam
Hanif,
of the household.
We do have men that are taking advantage of that. You know, this is an advantage for them to be aggressive.
Listen, men and women take advantage of anything, okay? Even
yeah.
in marriage, the very sacred institution of marriage is abused by people, okay?
Yes.
You know, women's very weakness with respect to men, for example, their passivity with respect to men could be abused by women for their own particular purposes. We're not talking about the abuse. We're not talking about the exceptions to the rule. You
but
know
it
I mean?
Can,
one example
but
of...
But it can lead to abuse. Yes?
Listen, anything could lead to abuse. Listen, you know, look, we have polygamy in Islam. That
yeah.
could be abused. We have monogamy in Islam. That could be abused. Okay?
Yeah.
What we really need is, as you mentioned, education. People being aware of their responsibilities and of the meaning of the institutions.
Yes.
Okay? I mean, one example, for example, of the use of ritualized violence as a non-traumatic thing,
yes.
is in the area of violence being used in a ritualized manner that some women require.
Yeah.
You know, this is something quite very much expressed in psychological tracts in terms of certain masochistic types of relationships. I think Ayatollah Makarem Shirazi mentioned it in terms of this act of symbolic violence. Symbolic.
Okay. Yeah.
You have to be very careful about this. And the Holy Prophet talked about it. Okay?
Yes.
Symbolic violence as something that represents to a woman's psychology the relationship of authority that a man should have in a marital relationship. Because when men lose their authority, women lose their respect.
Okay, thank you, Sheikh Hanif. Thank you for the point and your point of view. Brother Wahid,
yes.
still with you.
Sheikh Ahmad Hanif, I would like to continue with your answer. What do you mean exactly with symbolic violence? Could you be more specific, please?
Okay. This is not across the board. There are some women, many women, who when they feel dissatisfied for whatever reason,
yes,
for about their husbands, in the sense that husband does not give the authority or show the authority that they require, these women require, okay?
Yes.
Whether it is in terms of how the household is run or how they behave in the bedroom. These women react in what we call a nauseous type of a way. They are disobedient. They are insultive. They are critical. Okay? And life
All right.
becomes hell for the husband.
So it's sexual.
What that woman requires, right? Even sexual. What that woman requires is an act of an authority, an assertive, immediate act of an authority that satisfies her psychological requirement.
I see.
Okay? And sometimes that is manifested by an act of symbolic violence.
All right. Now, what Dr. Shajaipur told us is the interpretation that he told us about was beating with a stick, a small stick. How can that be symbolic?
Well, to be accurate, exactly, this is an exaggerated or an extreme example.
All right.
Okay. It doesn't mean to say that you have to be restricted to that.
All right.
You know, I mean, you have some hadith where the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi took a miswak, a toothbrush, and rested it on the hand of somebody and said, this is how you do it.
Subhanallah.
Okay? But it doesn't necessarily mean that only.
Okay.
What it indicates is that it has to be symbolic. Okay? In whatever cultural or contractual relationship that they have.
All right. Now, from the culture you come from, Sheikh Ahmad Hanif, how would you explain the symbolic violence?
Okay, look, you have situations where, you know,
sorry for
this
putting
symbolic
pressure.
Violence. Yeah, this.
Sorry for putting
this
pressure on you.
Symbolic violence, for example. Okay, no problem. This symbolic violence could be on the level of a firmness in the man. Okay?
All right.
If you're talking about beating,
yes.
Okay, we might talk about gentle slaps, for example, not on the face.
No.
Okay? Not on the face. All right?
All right.
Or some act of strength. Okay, for the woman to actually sort of like realize that this man is a force to be reckoned with.
Mm.
Okay?
Yes.
You know, sometimes it even gets into the area of the sexual relationship itself.
Yes.
You know, and there are many sexological books and psychological books that talk about the role of ritualistic violence in sexual relationships for some women.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
It points to all of these types of things.
Thank you, Sheikh Ahmad Hanif. Dr. Shajaipur, we heard the interpretation that Sheikh Ahmad Hanif presented for us. Would you please continue with our discussion about the word beat them?
As also dear friend Dr. Hanif said, and I mentioned, the meaning of to beat or beating here, as we consider as a symbolic, because we have a lot of evidence in the Islamic culture that, for example, we have one, the Holy Prophet say, I am so surprised and worried when I see some men are beating their wives. But in reality, those men are deserved to be beaten, you know, to be.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you know, the Holy Prophet is so much angry when he hears that some men are doing so.
Yes.
And as it was mentioned, for example, to use it, you know, a toothbrush or something.
So you agree
like that.
With?
Yeah,
because
really, I told you, we shouldn't look at Islam through the window of
right.
jurisprudence. Just we Islam, you know, the Holy Prophet said,
from an akhlaqi perspective,
I was sent by God to complete the moral values.
All right.
لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ
All right.
The Holy Prophet of Islam was the symbol of the, you know,
okay.
high values of morality.
Thank you, Dr. Shajaipur. Because of shortage of time,
yes.
I would like to change the question to zina, adultery.
Yeah.
Now, if a woman, issue of zina, it can be alleged by any woman or man without four Muslim male eyewitnesses to the crime. All right, let me put it for present it one more time. Zina cannot be alleged by any woman or man without four male eyewitnesses to the crime, or without confession in court by the man who committed this crime. And scholars claim, Islamic scholars, Muslim scholars, they claim that this Sharia requirement of four eyewitnesses and all of them have to be males, severely limits a woman's ability to press any charge of this crime, often committed without eyewitnesses. Do you agree?
You know, about this case, zina or adultery, fornication, yes. Because, you know, in Islamic jurisprudence, it has a very heavy punishment. So that's why, in the case that the people are going to interfere to the private life of the people, it has been really hasn't been permitted by Islam to do so.
No.
So that's why we see this, you know, this conditions for doing, you know, to be proved this type of crime or malbehavior. And we have, for example, in Islamic history, when Imam Ali was caliphate, he was reported that a man and a lady are, you know, doing zina or fornication.
Yes.
And so if Imam Ali, he didn't want to follow the case as the caliph, so he said, what a caliph you are. So he went to that, say they are doing that there, because it should be white, as you mentioned, witness, eyewitness to
so the requirements that are very high to prevent any false accusation.
That's why, you know, when Imam Ali went.
But from the lady perspective, now if we look from the woman's perspective, is it common for a Muslim woman who raises claims of rape, for example, to be not only denied justice in this case because she doesn't have any eyewitnesses, but also be charged as a criminal herself for committing fornication or adultery?
So the base in the Islamic law is that, you know, even the people is not, the people are not advised, are not recommended to say that I did so. Even the Holy Prophet in his time, some people, men or ladies, say, for example, I committed zina. So the Holy Prophet, maybe you are making a mistake.
All right.
You know, it means you have committed a sin toward Allah, and so this is because in Islam we don't, you know, this is not the purpose to interfere the private life. This is, you know, we should understand first the philosophy of the. Not, I told you, first we go through morality, akhlaq, going to the fiqh. And the same story I told you, it is very interesting, you know, when Imam Ali went to that house and he was, you know, he knocked the door was open. He entered the house, and when he came back, the people said, did you see that two people were committing zina or fornication? He said, I didn't see anything. Because when Imam Ali entered the house, he closed his eyes and came back. What does it mean? It means he wanted to give us a lesson that we shouldn't interfere the private life of the people.
Okay.
Yes,
thank
if they
you
are
very
doing
much,
this
Dr. Shojaki.
In the public, yes, that is another something else. But it is very important
much,
teaching
Dr.
of Islam, I can say.
All right, let's see if we have any viewers from the Skype.
Yes, sure. Viewers joining us through Skype, dear viewers. Assalamu alaikum, welcome to our program.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Thank you for joining, brother. The question is here, in order to break silence on violence against women, what solution, what suggestion do you think would be beneficial?
A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. In order to break the silence, I think that the people who are causing this violence, it's mostly due to lack of education. So the first thing that I would like to advise, or I think which is beneficial, is education for these people. Secondly, knowing the rights of women and where the women stand in society and within every aspect of life. Knowing the values of women, this would increase their knowledge and take them astray from this wrong path. And then learning the Islamic rights and learning what the values of women are. These are the most important factors, and what Islam says about the rights of women, which would probably more than likely take them away from this violence.
Thank you, brother. That would be precious to be part of creating solutions. On our Facebook page, dear viewers, before that, I really appreciate your comments, brothers and sisters, everyone. And I thank you all. A sister commented on the Facebook page, and she believes that family and society play a big role in allowing violence to continue. But when the family only worries about what people might say, then the violence will continue. People need to be scared of Allah, not people. And she says, I believe in this case, violence is solved with violence. Do you agree, Sheikh Hanif? Violence can be the answer of this violence against women?
In a certain sense, yes. I think the measure of the social understanding of the enormity of a crime is measured by the punishment that it inflicts because of that crime. You know, so the more violent the punishment, the more extreme the punishment, the more the society understands that that particular crime is heinous.
Yeah.
And so therefore, I think violence against women, which is, I believe, a heinous crime, because it is a way of oppression of half of the population, should be responded in a very, very strong manner. I think the sister might be a little naive with respect to the role of public opinion.
Okay.
Okay, because if the family is more concerned about its honor and about how it might seem and so forth and so on, that's a very important thing to consider. And therefore, we have to teach people that standing up against injustice and speaking out against injustice against oneself is a much more honorable thing than to live with that type of trauma privately.
Thank you, Sheikh. Thank you so much. Brother Wahid, the rest.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. I had a lot of questions, but inshallah ta'ala, if Allah permits, in another program, inshallah ta'ala. And I want to thank.
Just I would like to say one very.
All right.
Just at the end, I would like to, you know, if we Muslims, if we claim that we are Muslim, we should turn to the believers. And if we have a big gap in the Islamic society, this is a gap of the following the Islamic ethics, akhlaq. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, the Holy Prophet said, I was sent to complete the moral values.
Yes.
If we follow that, I think we can have a better future.
Inshallah ta'ala. Yes. Thank you very much, Dr. Shajaipur, and thank you, Sheikh Ahmad Hani from London. And thank you, dear viewers. Thank you also, Ms. Sadiqiyah.
Thank you, and our experts. Dear viewers, stay blessed. Don't forget to tune in next Tuesday, and may Allah aid your efforts toward what pleases Him. Iltimas dua in Arabic.
I hope to see you in Karbala, some of you at least, inshallah ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.